Okay, good morning. Boker Tov. Enjoy your coffee and donuts. Let's get started. We are finishing the parak on Itur. We are concluding Rav Pinkus' analysis of the type of tefillah called Itur, which he has defined as relentlessly pursuing prayer, Riboy tefillah, or Hasmada b'tefillah. He is defined as the idea of not taking no for an answer, continuing to come back over and over and over again. And we've talked about many times, the idea is that in the human realm, when you ask someone for something, it's the result that you're interested in. Whereas when you ask the Ribono Shel Olam for something, it's not just the result, but the process of asking in itself yields a result immediately, even if that which you ask for you don't get. Last week we talked at length about the fact that there's no such thing as a wasted tefillah. The idea that you constantly invest, you make deposits of your tefillahs, or you purchase a stock. Right, that was the example that was given to me afterwards. What was the example? A stock? How did it work? Common equity stock, you pass it on to the next generation. Right, I'm not sophisticated enough to understand exactly, but the idea that there's no such thing as a wasted tefillah, all of our tefillahs are stored, and we don't know whether we ourselves are making that withdrawal in our own lifetime, or a great-grandchild in a moment of danger will need to make a withdrawal, but there's no such thing as a wasted tefillah. So Rav Pinkus continues. We're going to start on the second paragraph, page Kuf Mem Hey. Im kein harotzel espalel over inyan echad. So a person who has a particular need, you're davening for a certain business deal, you're davening for nachas from your children, you're davening for a healthy report from the doctor, you're davening for shalom bayis or for parnasa, whatever it is you're davening for. Im yeshno is a pasuk asher inyanohu adavar hu atzarech lo, and you come across a particular verse in tefillah. So in Psukei Dezimra there's a certain sentence, or in Birchos Kriya Shema, something stands out to you. Something stands out to you, and it's connected to the thing that you're davening for. Kishayomar pasuk zeh b'toras bakasha, when you recite this pasuk as a supplication, when you recite this clause over and over, and you're doing so not just put a check next to davened, you know, I davened, I lined up the davening, but rather you're saying it from the bottom of your heart, nimtza d'mavad mashiyish kan tefillah, in addition to the fact that you've been yotzei davening, you could put a check next to the fact that you said that paragraph, yish kan gam haskula munachas b'toch hamilim hakadoshos. So Rav Pinkus is building off of the previous paragraph, where he described, based on the Shla HaKadosh, and based on the Rav Moshe Cordovero and others, there is an idea that there is a skula implicit in certain languages of tefillah, that when we repeat that line from our davening, not only are we articulating over and over again to the Ribono Shel Olam our need, but there is somehow a skula quality in the sentence itself. I think he means it Kabbalistically, he means it somehow there's a skula inherent. You say that pasuk over and over again, so you merit, you earn, you deserve whatever it is in the pasuk. I would suggest a little bit more rationally, or based on a rational perspective, that if you repeat that pasuk over and over again, it's not necessarily some mystical skula that heebie-jeebie, you get what you want because you happen to repeat the sentence over and over again. But the idea is that the sentence that's meaningful to you, the more you repeat it, the more mindful you are of it. And the more you repeat it, the more you pursue and you aspire and you have ambition for what's contained in it. Halahu adavar Hashem asher besoch divrei Torah haim v'shayach l'inyan zeh beprat v'ayidei zeh yasig mevukasho. So again, the Shla HaKadosh and Rav Moshe Cordovero had a mesorah, they had a tradition that there's a pasuk that strikes you, and that pasuk represents what it is that you are hoping for. So you don't just line it up once and run through it. You pause, you reflect, you meditate on that pasuk. Stop. You know, we race through davening. The Mishnah Berurah is very clear that it's much better to say less with more than more with less. You know, I've had the great privilege of davening next to Rav Schechter on many, many occasions. I never davened next to Rav Schechter that he was able to say all of davening. Ever. Ever. He gets to shul early, unlike me, but I'm going to try. He gets to shul early. He starts before everyone else. And if he gets two or three paragraphs of Psukei Dezimra in, that's a lot. He never gets through all Psukei Dezimra, because he actually says it slowly, and he's thinking about the words, and he pauses on a certain pasuk, and that's the right way. It's much better to do less with more than it is to do more with less. We're like a race car. We're flying through the davening. Yotzei, check, check, nail that paragraph, that paragraph, that paragraph. We're at Shema, good. Shema Esrei, finally, I can almost get out of here, stand in the parking lot, talk to my friends 20 minutes, and go to work. So that's not the way davening is supposed to... No, he doesn't. If you have time, you can come back, you can, but you're not obligated to. And Psukei Dezimra, Birchas Shema, and Shema, and Shema Esrei is something different. But Psukei Dezimra is designed, as we saw, Psukei Dezimra corresponds with the Mishnah that says the Chasidim Rishonim Shom Sha'achas. The Chasidim Rishonim used to reflect for an hour before they davened. How could you talk to someone that you can't see, feel, hear, touch without spending a couple minutes to think about who Hashem is? That's why the themes of Psukei Dezimra are seeing Hashem in nature and seeing Hashem in history. When you think about the natural world, you think about the world of science and the complexity and the minutiae and the details and the miracles, you see Hashem. And when you study history and you think about the miracles that happened to our people, how absolutely impossible it is that we're here, you see Hashem in history. So you think about who Hashem is, so that by the time you're ready to make a commitment to Him with Shema and Bracha Shema, and by the time you're ready to talk to Him, have an intimate rendezvous with Him with the Amida, so now you know who you're talking to. But if you fly, you're late, you barely say it, you shema, that's right, and then you say, I don't know why I can't connect. I don't know why davening does nothing for me. I can't connect, davening does nothing for me, you know, I don't know what the point of it is, I'm turned off, I have no interest. Well, that's because, did you take the time? You don't know who Hashem is. You didn't take a deep breath, you didn't shut out all the distractions. You didn't focus on before whom you stand and before whom you're having a conversation and upon whom we are dependent and rely and so on. So the idea is, Mishnah Berurah is very clear. The halacha is, it's much better to say less with more than it is to say more with less. So you have a certain paragraph in Psukei Dezimra, you have a few paragraphs, you have a certain sentence within a paragraph, it really strikes you, so sit on it for a minute. Okay, the fact that everybody else is lapping you, okay, let them lap you. You'll catch up when you get to Baruch, you'll rejoin. But there's a certain sentence, there's a certain paragraph, it moves you, you're taken by it, it captures how you feel, it's making you feel close to the Ribono Shel Olam, it represents what you're asking for. So sit on it for a minute, dwell on it. You know, we have this like momentum that's carrying us forward. We're just like snowballing towards the Amida, and we feel like we don't control the brakes. All we have is a gas pedal. Tefillah has a gas pedal, and tefillah has a brake. Everyone's always slamming on the gas pedal, faster and faster, more and more, passing the person next to you. But tefillah also has a brake. And the art of tefillah is knowing when to step on the brake, and when to, when you come across something, when to sit on it. In fact, give me the sitter for a second right behind you. When Rav Sadan was here recently, Rav Eli Sadan, the founder of the Mechina movement and the Mechina Neili, and he was talking about, you know, the unusual thing, Neili is this incredibly special place. Rav Sadan is an extraordinary individual, which I don't have time to tell you about right now. But one of the things he talked about is, you know, his yeshiva emphasizes, of course, Gemara, but it also has a whole curriculum of emuna and tefillah. They do things that most yeshivas don't. They study the Kuzari and Mor Nevuchim, and they're studying studying emuna, and how emuna expresses itself in everything. So one of the things he met a student who was in the army who said that the people around him gave up religion. What kept him religious is that Rav Sadan gave him the following suggestion: that every day when you daven, even you're in the army, you're getting up early, you barely have time to daven, you're squeezing davening in, you barely can focus. So, but at least this sentence, he said, this sentence, I want you to every day when you get to this sentence, step on the brake. Slow down and just think about this sentence. Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebronu L'chvodo V'hivdilanu Min HaTohim V'nasan Lanu Toras Emes V'chaye Olam Nata B'sachayinu. Blessed is Hashem who created us L'chvodo. He created us in this world. We have a mission. And our mission is to glorify His name. V'hivdilanu Min HaTohim. And He took us away from all of the people living these depraved lifestyles, who are confused and wandering, who are lacking significance and meaning. V'nasan lanu Toras Emes. And how did He give us the light? How did He give us the way? He gave us the Torah. V'chaye olam nata b'socheinu. And what did He do? The eternal life He planted. He planted the seed for us to blossom within us of eternal life. That's an unbelievable sentence. We've all said it. You just said it 5 minutes ago. What an unbelievable... Hu yiftach libeinu b'sorasso. Hashem, given all that, please open my heart to Your Torah. I'm about to confront the world. I'm about to confront temptation and desire and distraction. I'm going to forget You. So open my heart. V'yasam b'libeinu ahavaso v'yiraso. La'asos ritzono la'avdo b'liv av shalem. L'man lo nigal arik v'lo nilid l'be'ela. It's unbelievable. What an incredible paragraph. It's already, we're taking off the tefillin, we're already anticipating getting out of here, we're already, it's an unbelievable paragraph. So he just gave it as one example. Find that sentence, find that clause. Maybe it's for this week, maybe it's for this month, but don't always step on the gas pedal in tefillah. There's a brake too, and you're allowed to step on the brake, slow it down, and if you're stepping on the gas pedal most of the time, step on the brake for a sentence here and there. And there's a skula. There's a skula in finding a sentence. Oh, I didn't realize what time it is. I'm sorry. There's a skula in finding a sentence and saying it over and over. And whether it's the mystical skula of the Shla and the Moshe Cordovero, the mystical skula that somehow when you do that, there's a skula, or whether it's the fact that by repeating it, meditating on it, and being mindful of it, the skula is that now you're conscious of it, you're mindful of it. Either way, it's something which has great value. We're very out of time. I apologize to the 8:30 minion. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Go ahead.